Blog Talk Radio.
Happy hump day to all of our blessed beloveds out there. It is Wednesday. We are having a perfectly beautiful, gorgeous, stunning day, I think. It's great weather. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. And after all the thunderstorms we've had over the last couple of weeks, we are pretty dry for the moment. Wasn't quite sure what it was going to be like this morning. I woke up to rain, and then it blasted sunrise, gorgeous colors. And then it cooled down and became breezy. So, you know, it is what it is. Went to a shamanic healing last Wednesday night with Chloe. That was really cool at the Unity Church in Rollinsford. And Chloe and I had our hands blessed as healing hands, which was pretty cool. It was very interesting to learn about the Peruvian shamans, a little different than what Anne had talked about on our show a couple months ago, two months ago. But they were very similar because they still had the four corners, earthly components, which I thought was interesting.
Just a little cultural differences.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of difference. Like the Native American is based on the same principles of the earth and, you know, the compass points and that type of thing. But it's just what your culture brings to it.
Right. So that was really interesting. Just a little different taste in the Peruvian shamanistic world.
Interesting. I wish I could have. Last minute, couldn't join you, but I was a little upset about that, but it is what it is. My daughter's home visiting from Utah, so I've been trying to go with her flow. She's got a lot of people to see and 3 weeks to be here, so, you know, but it means that she's loved and there's a lot of people that want to see her, so just been, because I get her for all of next week on my vacation, so I'm just letting her be. And going with it. But I would have really liked to have been there. I have been getting off my meditation train and trying to get back on it. So I went out and did that last night. Felt so much better. So I'm very excited to check out the Unity Church. You've told me a lot about it. And when I get back from vacation, I will be visiting. See how that goes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to go tonight, but they're doing a Hindu ceremony on love. So that would be interesting to check out and learn a little bit more about. Very blessed to live this life and to be able to bring different concepts and thoughts to all of you out there. I wanted to say hello to my friends in Japan and my friends in Turkey. Hello, hello, hello. Good evening. I hope you are doing well. And I wanted to give a big, large and wondrous hug to all of my friends in Colorado that may or may not be experiencing the wildfire issue. Mother Nature has a way of cleansing herself, and it seems like that wildfire is really getting out of control. But so much to talk about all the time, always. Today we were going to have Barry Eva on, but unfortunately somehow technically he didn't get the email that I sent him in confirmation, and he is currently working, so we're going to try to reschedule that for later this fall. He is an author and has transitioned to the United States from England, and that'll be an interesting journey to talk about when we get there. But as I say, it is what it is. And you
there's
know,
always a reason for it.
Absolutely. There's always, always a reason. So today I'm going to open up the phone lines to anyone who's able to call. The topic is going to be balance. I know Amy and I struggle with that sometimes because we're just crazy busy. So what do you find balance to be in your life? How do you find it? What are your methods? So it's really just going to be an open discussion. Feel free to give us a call. The number is 347-205-9443, and call in. And we'd love to hear all about your balance or balance issues, because, you know, there's an ebb and flow to everything. You can also, if you're sneaking us at work, like some of you do, just put in onto my Facebook page your questions or your comments. And that's facebook.com/celiacroads. So So balance, Amy. I know as a single parent, we were just talking a little bit about the struggles that I have. I'm a one-income household and two people, and the laundry monster likes to invade my couch on a frequent level and just kind of sits there. I was talking to another single parent the other night about how we tend to cheat, and if the laundry is on the couch too long, we have to throw it back in the dryer to get rid of the wrinkles because it's just easier than pulling out the iron and the ironing board. But
happens in the non-single family household as well.
Well, especially with your husband because he works all the time. It's crazy.
My husband has been working like a dog lately. It kind of, he takes the overtime when he can get it. And, you know, my business, you know, is up and down. I mean, there are times it's really, really, you know, busy and sometimes it's not. I'm working on my, you know, my product line, as you know, I'm in the process. It's going to be launching as soon as I get back from vacation. So I'll be out there lotioning people up and making body oils. And
it puts the lotion on the body.
And it's funny that you talk about balance because the name of the line is Om, which means balance.
Right.
You know, when people meditate, one of the mantras that you hum is Om, and it's more the vibration than the word.
Mm-hmm.
But the word Om means balance.
Right.
So that's why on my newest fragrance that I put together in a skincare line is because I wanted to make something that men and women both like. But Om, and I didn't even know until recently that that's what Om meant, was balance. So it's kind of appropriate when you're meditating. And I know that's one thing that I use now. I've meditated here and there, but never been real serious about it until recently. And I do notice a huge difference of giving yourself at least 20 minutes in the morning or 20 minutes in the evening.
Or both,
if you can. I mean, if you can't get in both, try to get in one, because when you get away from it, it's more easier to get away from it, and it really is a huge difference in how your body handles stress. Stress is one of the main reasons for disease.
I agree.
Emotionally, physically, on all levels. If you can control your stress, you can control a lot of other things. And that's the thing. People need to find their balance. That's what we need to do right now. Because people are so out of balance with their busy lives and materialism and, you know, have to do this and the kids have to be in every single sport. And, you know, I know I get caught up in it. As well as I'm teaching people the balance, and I get caught up in it too. So, you know, it's mine is mostly a time management thing. That's where my balance is completely out of control.
Yeah. I ended up having to take a break from my book writing and editing process for the last week because my day job, my full-time job, has just been crazy busy. And trying to respect my body and respect myself, I'm just walked away for a little while so that I have that extra time to just mentally unthaw, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a big chicken that needs a couple of days in the sink because that's how busy it's been between the book and the radio interviews and everything else.
Yeah.
But that is a huge life lesson for me. Part of my A-type personality is go, 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 go. You know, if you have to get up at 3:30 in the morning and work until 10 o'clock at night, that's what you have to do.
Exactly.
That's just my personality. And I'm finding that, you know, having more balance in that and not pushing myself so hard is really,
it'll
really
be
helped.
There tomorrow.
Oh,
it really
yeah.
will. And the thing is with us, because I was a single parent for a while, and, you know, I, you know, was out on my own very early age. Pretty much, you know, taking care of myself, being responsible for myself. So I'm used to doing everything. I'm not one of those people that I'm not a good delegator. Like, I can't say I know how to delegate by getting me to delegate is another.
Right.
Do you follow me?
Yep.
Like, I can tell somebody else how to delegate, but I don't do it myself.
Yep.
Because
and we end up looking as controlling people that way, and that's something that
I think that's what got me in trouble in the working world.
Yeah.
Because I'm so ambitious and so have so many visions of things and how to make things better. My intent is in a good place, but I was taken in a wrong place. I was taken as, you know, even as far as arrogant.
Right.
Because, you know, I'd be like, you know, I'd be very excited about, hey, we should do this and this would work, you know. And, you know, what I found, that's why people like us are better to work for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
because we have that freedom to be creative and to go at our own pace. Like you said, you can get up at 3:30 in the morning. I can too. You know, I can get up at 3:30 mm-hmm. in the morning and do marketing for my business. You know what
right.
I mean? But usually that's what I do. My first thing I do in the morning is I get that business stuff out of the way.
Yep.
You know, and that's work, you know, that's a time management thing I'm working on. It's just managing the interruptions in my life. How do you do that? How do you manage those interruptions that are completely out of your control? That's my time management issue.
For me, I just have had to set boundaries. I've really had to be more clear. And it's not easy. I mean, you've been here, and I'll have three kids come in one door and four come in the other door, and they're all wanting something or snarking or fighting or, you know. So I perfectly understand that. That's a hard one, but setting boundaries, you know, I think being able to shut and lock the door.
Yeah, that's not been working well in my home. As you know, my bedroom is like a revolving door. I mean, my son used to have his room in there. So people are used to it being a second living room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's now my bedroom.
Right.
People still just go in there, and it's like, really, how do I make this private?
What about a sign? Have you thought about putting a sign up?
You have
up?
To go through the bathroom to get to this room, so I didn't know how much more of a sign you needed.
I don't know,
it's a beautiful room. It's big, and that's why, you know, it's comfortable. You can fit a lot of people in there, but I want it to be my room and my office. That's what I want it to be. And that's another thing I'm trying to get balanced, is I have kids, you know, I'm purging some children that are old enough and getting their own place, and I have one that's, you know, gone to Utah. She's here visiting, but their stuff is still here. So that's messing up my balance, too, because I don't feel... It's not that I don't want to store their stuff, but I don't want it in my space. You know what I mean? It's like, so we're trying to get that all accomplished. And a lot of that is why I feel unbalanced. It's just these outside things that I can't seem to get under control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll have a good plan. Okay, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. This never works out the way I want it to, you know. What I've also found is making a list. You need to make a list that you can definitely, under no circumstances, accomplish.
Right.
Because when you reach that accomplishment, you feel better. Because you actually feel like you finished something. And add a couple more in case you finish all these and you still have time. So then you also feel like you're checking off a couple more. So someone had told me that trick, which works. You have to make a list that's doable.
Well, there's also, for our personality types, it's also a detriment to make a list. And hear me out, the life coaching side of me. We tend to make lists that are barely reachable because it's our personality.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things, what was it? I think it was an Esther Hicks book I was reading. And she, too, like us, just takes on way too much. And she ended up taking her list, which was a book, and pulling things off the list and allowing the universe to take control over those things.
Hmm.
So that was a unique perspective for our personality type because we can do it all. And the bull in a china shop, we tend to come across as, and it's not intentional and it's not, you know, malicious. It's just we are
go-getters.
Go-getters.
Yeah, yeah.
And so finding balance in that, and I thought I really liked allowing the universe to take some of it. And public announcement, now that I can announce it, we are, as Amy knows, moving to Florida this fall. And that has been, you know, that has been a huge balance issue for mm-hmm. me as well, because here I am going, oh my God, I've got a pack and I've got a yard sale and oh, time's running out and I have this mm-hmm. and I have that. Da, 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 da. And a couple of weeks ago, I took the moving to Florida off my list and let the universe have it. And that has actually really helped take a lot of weight off of my shoulders, because I'm the meticulous packer who has to have everything alphabetized mm-hmm. in the boxes, double layered, mm-hmm. tape, that kind of thing. And Amy's seen the struggle. Mm-hmm. But I've had to let it go.
Yeah.
I had to, because I wasn't even sleeping.
Right.
I was panicking.
Yeah, I went through that with a financial situation in my life with,
no.
you know, and I had to take it off the table. Yep. I just took it off and said, they'll let me know when they need something.
Yep.
And stop worrying about what they might need.
Right.
And just wait for them to let me know when they needed something. And, you know, and it's been a huge burden off of me, worrying about it every single second of the day. And it is going to be what it's going to be. And... Yep. You know, I don't have any anxiety over it. You know, it's moving along the way it should. And that's, you know, I'm just accepting it the way it's coming to me, because,
yep.
you know, acceptance has been a thing that I struggled with for a long time, accepting things the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I've always felt the need to change it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to change it. You have to change it. You have to change it. No, you don't. You don't have to change it. You have to change how you respond to it.
Right.
And that's been a challenge for me, but I'm finally getting it. And now that I am, then things feel smoother to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we were thinking maybe we couldn't take this week-long camping trip that we always do. It was quite an expense, but, you know, our whole family goes, and it just happened. So they had overtime, and things happened that we could go, you know. And I just said that. I said, if I'm meant to go, we're going to go. And
right.
here we go. So, and, you know, we'll see if I can get reception out on my boat. That might be a good place for me to join you next week.
Yeah, we actually, Kaz Akers, she's a spiritualist who does, she makes spiritual CDs for meditation and so forth.
Ooh,
and she's going to be
nice.
On Wednesday.
Nice.
So that'll be really super cool.
I'll try. If I'm not, I'm sorry, but I'll do my best.
Todd, just have a margarita for me on the float.
Well, sometimes I can get reception out on the boat, so I said, Todd, we'll just take the boat out, the kids will swim, and I'll just do the radio show from the boat.
Absolutely. Screaming babies in the background. So call in and give us a little bit of your thought, balance, and what that means to you. The number here is 347-205-9443. It's all about balance, and I think that ties in with manifestation. I think that ties in with acceptance, which... You know, my personality type is I need to have the big cosmic God, 2x4 smack to validate that this is really what I'm supposed to do. Amy's laughing because she knows that. I'm constantly validating. Really trying to let go of that part of my personality too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just a survival mechanism.
Another thing that I'm learning that is listening.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I always was the talker in the family. I was always the voice for everybody. So I was the one always talking. So now I'm learning to listen
mm-hmm.
and just sit and listen and just let others have, you know. And it's been like at the meeting we were at at the Area Loca. I go there for meditation, and they have like a little meetings at different levels of your, you know, learning and mm-hmm. Buddhism. And, you know, I'd been to the introduction class, so I just kind of sat back and just kind of took it all in and listened to other people's way of it. And that's been a change for me, but it's bringing balance. So
mm-hmm.
That's what we have to find, what brings us balance. Like, for instance, someone quitting smoking,
mm-hmm.
okay, you're taking some vital habits away from this person. It isn't just a... physical addiction, which really the physical addiction goes away quite quickly. It's the mental
mm-hmm.
and the habitual addiction, the holding of the cigarette, something doing with your hands,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So when I'm working with people that are trying to quit smoking, I tell them you need to find something to do with your hands,
mm-hmm.
or to do in place of having that cigarette after dinner, having that cigarette,
mm-hmm.
you know, during a stressful situation. You have to find something to replace that cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Some people chew on straws or hold a straw like a cigarette for a while. That works.
Mm-hmm.
My mother still chews on a straw like 6 months later, but hey, whatever works.
Mm-hmm.
I know she did puzzles. I quilted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would take a walk with the dog after dinner as opposed to having a cigarette.
Mm.
You know, stuff like that. But what I'm trying to get at is everyone has their own balance. So what makes Rusty have balance is not going to make Amy have balance necessarily.
Right.
You might have some same components here and there, but the pattern of your balance is unique. Everyone's balance is unique. So what I encourage people to do is to research it. What find, you know, go to holistic healers, go to shamans, go to, you know, all these people that are going to help you find, because along with doctors trying to create a physical balance, you need the spiritual balance to actually achieve the balance.
And yeah, absolutely. I think mind, body, and soul, it's very important. So in order to become more balanced, a healthy diet is huge.
Yes.
A healthy lifestyle.
That's foremost.
That's huge because you're feeding your innards,
mm-hmm.
Which fuels the rest of your self and your doings,
mm-hmm.
and then definitely, you know, come up with some sort of schedule that feels good. It has to feel good. If
mm-hmm.
it doesn't feel good, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If walking feels good, do it. If quilting or puzzles feel
mm-hmm.
good, do it.
Right.
You know, I'm a huge feel-good person. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. And then the spiritual component. We all need a spiritual component. It doesn't matter if, you know, what path that is for you, or if you're like me, Curious George, who loves it all.
Right, like I.
Yeah. Once you have that, you will be more aligned with your whole self, not just a fragment or pieces of yourself. And they all have to feel good in order to be successful. You know?
Right. And you know, the more that people accept each other for who they are, for their own belief systems, without
mm-hmm.
judgment, the closer we're going to be to this, you must have heard of global consciousness. And I think what global consciousness does mean is balance. Everyone
mm-hmm.
finding their balance and accepting each other the way they are and not having all this judgment and, you know, that causes the spiritual and emotional issues
mm-hmm.
that lead to the physical issues and vice versa. All
mm-hmm.
three need to be balanced in order for you to be balanced. And I, for one, know firsthand how that can work in your life on
mm-hmm.
a physical basis, because before I started my path, I was so sick because I was on all of these medications, trying them all. They weren't working. They were causing other side effects. And I wasn't balancing everything. I was just doing one part. I was trying to just fix the physical part. I wasn't trying to fix the emotional part or the spiritual part.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had the spiritual part under control, but there was something missing there. So, you know, that began my journey through working in hospitals and then going into the spiritual holistic healing world, is that's what worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it worked for a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just the holistic side. It was coupled with the diet, with the right medications.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not against medications, but you need to be taking the right medications.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to take cholesterol medication if your cholesterol isn't high.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because now they're showing it a link to type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, that's
you know, and it's so that's what I do, and that's a form of balance, is having all of that balance for you, but everyone's balance formula is different. So
absolutely.
You have to be patient with it. Sometimes it can take 6 months before you achieve that balance, but as long as you're working toward it and,
mm-hmm.
you know, experimenting, you will find it.
And just as a personal testimonial, you know, you're going to fall off balance. which
yes,
my beautiful and wise old daughter mentioned to me last week or the week before, because my dreams have just been really vivid and crazy. And so I was telling her about trying to catch the dragonfly eggs that I sat on that she brought home, and she's laughing at me. And then she looked at me and she said, "Mom, when was the last time you meditated?" And I said, "Oh, my God, you so hit it right on the head, you know. You're right, I haven't for a couple of days." So I fell off my wagon, mm-hmm. but what's nice about having my miniature version of Yoda mm-hmm. is she called me on it,
yeah.
and she's so wise for seven. But, you know, and I think that is one of the largest lessons that we are to learn as a whole, as everybody on the planet, is balance.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever form that comes in, but it's mm-hmm. a continual
It is.
Practice.
And as you grow older, the balance is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what made you happy when you were 22 could have been, you know, tequila or vodka.
Right, right.
It's now green tea.
Right.
Know,
or, and going to bed at 9 o'clock at
yeah.
night instead of 2.
You know, so your balance does change. And as long as you're accepting of that, you just go with the flow and go with the change. The winds of change, people have heard that, the winds of change,
mm-hmm.
okay? It is so true because change comes with the wind. So, you know, even us holistic healers, and I think even most of the time, we struggle the most with our own balance because we're so busy and happy to help others balance that we forget
mm-hmm.
about ourselves. And or we feel that, oh, I can just do one more, you know, one more client, or I can do one, you know, one more phone call, or one more, you know, whatever, and then it's bedtime. Me, I have found that I need that half an hour. I shut my door and need my half an hour, whether it's reading or meditating or whatever it may be. I give myself some quiet time. I need to do that. If I don't, I get completely out of sorts.
I stopped answering the phone after 6.
Yeah.
And that has been very huge for me. But I don't answer the phone after 6 anymore. I'm in my defrosting
mm-hmm.
mode. If it's friends or family, that's one thing.
Right,
but
right, exactly. But
business-wise.
And numbers, nope. I don't know who they are. I don't pick up after
nope.
that
nope.
time either.
And that's helped because I'm able to spend more time really, really
mm-hmm.
completely focused on the other stuff that I have to
the
do.
The other thing is shutting the TV off.
Yeah, I don't do TV, so I can't
well,
relate to that one.
Well, you know, but I know a lot of people do, and
yeah.
I do, but it's
yeah.
very limited. But I have found in the last couple of years that I have shut the TV off. I had to actually disconnect my cable to truly shut off the TV. I was so addicted to it. And I just, you know, decided I need to do that, and it was a cleansing process for us. But it was funny because we did it for about 6 months, and then we decided, okay, well, we can get, you know, the basic cable back, and, you know, we'll just be very, and we have been. I mean, I'll go days without even turning that thing on, you know. The kid, you know, on a rainy day or whatever, I'll pop a movie in for the kids, but the general rule, I don't watch TV, and that takes a lot of clutter out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of negativity in the media, even on the internet, you know, the news on the internet. It's all negative stuff. I mean, there's a few positive pieces that come in here and there, but there's more negative than there is positive. And I just believe that we should, you know, try to limit what we have of that nature, cluttering up our mindsets and getting a hold of our thought patterns and just focus on, that's what you learn in Buddhism, is how to focus on now, right this moment.
That is the one thing that my mother just smacked me about the other day. I am super blessed. I am so grateful to have my soul mother in my life. She is a huge teacher and an advocate for what I do, and she just... she's wonderful, and I'm blessed with my friends and family. My life has just grown in spectacular ways. But anyway, she's trying to set me up with somebody. And as I said, I'm planning to move to Florida. And I'm like, no, Mom, I don't think this is the time to, you know, start dating or anything like that, because I don't think that's fair to the other person. And she goes, I'm not talking about the future. Why aren't you in the now? Why aren't you flowing in the now? Not the later, not the tomorrows, but today. And I started laughing. And that was a great lesson for me, because I, again, am very much a planner, and I book things until June of next year, which is my nature, but also part of what I do for work. So it's hard to break the personal aspect of my life away from the work responsibilities, because there's a certain part of being scheduled that you need, my motivational speaking, all of the seminars and classes that I'm teaching, the move, you know, there's certain things you have to schedule. And my personal life, I scheduled that way too. So it's separating those pieces and being more in the moment personally versus the things that you have to. So that's
what I'm working on right now.
That's this year's lesson for me, I think, is
bringing
the
computer to work in my office and leaving work there. Like I did, you know, before. I hope, you know, instead of doing it half and half, because that seems to unbalance me too. I can't seem to separate work from, you know, home life. And you do need to leave work at work, you know, or try to. And you being, you know, you work out of your home, that's going to be difficult to do. And there's a lot more people that are working out of their home. And so, you know, do you find that there's a lot of people that are feeling more isolated and non-social because they're working at home now?
Yes, and actually I have been blessed to stay in touch with people over the years that are also these virtual telecommuters. And it's a great position as a single parent, because I don't have to worry about when Chloe's sick. I don't have to go through this exhaustive process to take care of that. But a lot of us do feel isolated. And we get up at 5 in the morning, and the first thing we do is turn on the computer, pour our coffee or tea, and get to work. And then with the minor interruptions for me throughout the day, because Chloe's really, really self-sufficient that way. She's really good. After she goes to bed, I'm on the computer working again until God knows when. So there are advantages and disadvantages. I think we've talked about this before. My social time is generally out doing the seminars and the motivational speaking events or the events for Cabot Creamery. I have one next weekend, which I'm super excited about. Don't let me forget to talk about that one. School-related things, but rarely do I go out that's not work-related or mother-related. So, and that's, if you're working in an office, generally you would be invited or you know, go and do things with other people as part of that dynamic, that group dynamic. But since it's just me and the fish tanks, fish tanks aren't any fun to go out with. But I'm finding that, like last Saturday, I went out with a friend of mine who's a photographer. He's the one that did my pictures. And he telecommutes as well. And he does the same thing. And I was like, nope. It's a gorgeous day. We're going to walk and just putz around downtown Portsmouth. It was beautiful, beautiful, right before the huge lightning storm here. And we just bummed around town for a few hours, and that was great. But that is part of my seeking balance, is to go and putz around somewhere for a few hours, because it's been hot and heavy with work.
Right. Well, that's why I suggested maybe we could go on location with the show, if we could make it work and not have too many technical difficulties. But
yeah, I tried that last
fun.
Weekend. I did a test try at Don's shop last weekend or the weekend before.
Really?
Yeah. It was just cell signal that was.
It was the cell signal? Oh. Yeah, we'd have to try it out, but it'd be fun to go on different areas and, you know, talk about different topics in different areas. But I with balance too, a lot of people don't realize their nutrient balance, even if they eat a good diet. A lot of us need supplementation.
Mm-hmm. Especially those of us who are celiacs, we absolutely have to have our supplements.
And a lot of people think, oh, I eat good greens and I don't eat a lot of junk and I don't eat a lot of sugar. That's wonderful. The problem is the soil that we are growing our food in is not as nutrient rich as it once was. So we absolutely need to supplement, which I don't understand why doctors, you know, it's rare. I mean, they might say, oh, do you take a multivitamin? But they're more concerned with, you know, at least in my experience, they're more concerned with, you know, your cholesterol and your heart, you know, heart medication, stuff like that, heart rate and
the
stuff.
The pharmaceutical stuff.
Vitamin. And vitamins and, you know, even when you go, when I was pregnant with Ariana, I was gestational, what they call gestational diabetic, which is you're only diabetic while you're pregnant. It does increase your chances of becoming diabetic later.
Mm-hmm.
So I really took a learning lesson then and looked at my diet. And, you know, I worked in a bank for a long time. I sat on my butt. I drank Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And, you know, I ate.
And there's nothing
out.
Just as for illegal reasons.
Right.
There's
nothing wrong with it. But, I mean, I was putting too much of that stuff in my body. I tell everybody too much of anything is not good.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, I'm not a big, you know, believer in soda, but do I let my kids drink it? Absolutely. Every once in a while they can have a soda at a birthday party or a wedding or something that's a special occasion. But I don't believe that children should be allowed to drink soda every single day.
Or chips. Stuff like that.
You know what I mean? Those are party foods. That's what I call my kids. Those are party foods. The only time you're allowed to have them is a special occasion. You know, and I still will bring, when I go to a party now, instead of bringing chips and dip, I bring a salad or I bring cut up fresh veggies with hummus or, you know, I'll make a fruit salad with some kind of like, you know, Cool Whip kind of dipping thing, you know, for the kids.
Well, and it's funny, and we're kind of getting a little off track a little bit, but even at the gluten-free events that I go to for celiacs, you know, it's mostly brownies and cookies and cakes, and I'm going, there's so much more.
Right.
To what we need than cookies, cakes, and that's, you know, across the board, having that all the time is what's definitely causing health issues in general because you're not balanced with the greens and the proteins. And so that's always been an irritation of mine when I go to these events because 90% of it is just this high sugary. You know, and a lot of it's vegan and soy-free and dairy-free and milk-free and da-da-da-da-da. You know, there's a lot of things, allergies that are removed, but there's still...
My feeling is, why go through all of that to find all these products that don't contain these things when you can put out fruit or, you know, a gluten-free cheese and cracker with some fruit or that's something that your body can actually benefit from. Instead of going through the motions of finding a mix or a baker that makes these gluten-free and dairy-free and egg-free and all this stuff, that, to me, is a big hassle. When it's just as easy to go buy fresh fruits and vegetables and serve that.
Well, and I mean, you experienced my birthday cake that
it was fabulous.
Karen Howard made
actually,
for me.
Actually, I think it was better than
regular,
regular
cake.
Exactly. And my girls liked it better as well.
You know, there's occasions where that's an appropriate thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just disappointing to me that most of these events...
They don't honor, I mean, it strikes me funny that they know it's this type of event, but yet they don't make sure that there's that type of food there or encourage it.
A healthy food.
Right,
healthy
a healthy food.
Food. Yeah.
And I am glad that the schools are getting more into representing healthy snacks and things are taking more of the sugary drinks out of the machines and they're replacing it with water, even Gatorade. Gatorade's okay, but also you got to understand with Gatorade.
It's high salt.
It's very high salt, and it's made for athletes. It's made for people who are perspiring that need to replace that salt. And that is needed when you are playing and working hard.
Yeah.
But just to drink it's really not the best. It's replenishing what you're losing. So the only time I let my kids have the Gatorade is at sporting events or if we're hiking or something like that.
Yeah. I'm a little loosey-goosey on that one. I wasn't with my first child because of the high salt content. Chloe, I've been a little bit lax on the Gatorade thing. I'm just pulling back.
Right. But, I mean, if we gave her one or two a day of the smaller ones, that's not bad at all because especially where she's very active, it would be fine.
She gets one a day.
Oh, that's not out of... That's okay.
But her father's side of the family has high cholesterol, heart attacks. Almost all of them have died of some sort of heart issue. And, so I'm kind of tougher.
Well,
and
the salts, another thing that, talk about balance with salt, okay?
Yeah.
Your table salt that you buy, your Morton salt, that's all bleached. Right, but it's all bleached.
Yeah.
So that is the salt that's causing the problem in our diet. If you go and you buy pure Himalayan salt,
it's
a completely different reaction in your body. The chemical reaction is different because it's not a chemical. The other one has been, thrown through bleach baths and everything else, and that's why we're having why it's causing a problem.
Yeah.
So you got to get back to basics. People talk about margarine and, don't worry so much about your calories and your fat. You just cut down. You just don't use as much butter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Use the spray, when you can, but don't use it. Margarine is, don't even get me going how bad it is for you.
Yeah, I don't do the margarine. I actually have a pump for my olive oil.
Yeah.
So you just fill it up. It's like $10 at Bed Bath & Beyond or something.
Yeah, I just have one of those. The olive oil pourers, that chefs use. I just have one of those. And
you actually use less for the pump. That's why I like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I use olive oil most of the time. I use just plain butter, like for baking.
Yeah, real butter.
Real butter,
yeah.
And, I will use, the Pam, the canola Pam once in a while, like when I'm camping and stuff, it's more convenient, but I don't use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I use olive oil. Like even with my turkey now, instead of doing the butter, I do the olive oil.
Yep.
And, I rub it with the olive oil and then I put my herbs on it. But it doesn't taste any different.
No.
And
less
greasy. Yeah. And the butter's in the stuffing instead.
But it's less.
Yes. And I do use less. I do, even with my pies, I do, you don't need as much butter as they say.
Well, I grew up in the South, so it was Crisco everything. You'd Crisco
mm-hmm.
your kid. Crisco. Crisco
my
everything.
Mother did, too, but we were up here. But my mother, I remember growing up, my mother used Crisco a lot.
And no offense to Crisco.
No.
It's just that,
that's what we grew up with,
Again, too much of one thing.
Yeah.
Pork lard.
Yeah.
I can't.
Even, believe it or not, too much water can make you sick.
I'm a wateraholic, though.
I know, but there is instances where too much water, and I have a friend that actually experienced that. She just thought, I can drink all this water, and what was happening, she was diluting her salt.
Oh.
She was diluting her salt content and really throws you off. I mean, you know, your bowels get all kaflooey and you feel flu-like. And then your immune system goes down. The salt balance is really, that's why with the Gatorade, it's not bad that she's drinking one Gatorade a day because you need that, the good salts in your body.
Mm.
And those are electrolytes and that's, that is a good salt. So the balance with water, people do not drink enough water. People say, I have headaches. I can point half physical ailments by dehydration because people do not drink enough water. And, because you're drinking a 32-ounce soda, doesn't count as water, not even close.
Nope. I'm a tea drinker, coffee drinker, wine drinker, water drinker.
I drink water. I drink iced tea. I drink 2 cups of coffee in the morning. That's it for me.
Yep.
And the rest of the day, I drink tea or herbal tea. I love iced tea. I like Arnold Palmer. I like the lemon and lemonade and the iced tea mix. But, there's other ways that you can give kids these fun, flavorful drinks. There's a thing you can get at, like, Walmart, and it has a core, and you can put fruit in it and put water in it. and the fruit is actually flavoring the water.
Yeah.
They have them in the colleges and stuff. My son got me one, and in the summer it's great to have, especially at camp. You just stuff it through full of, you know, it's usually oranges and a little bit of lemon. I'll throw in there sometimes some lime. Berries, frozen berries you can throw in there, and it just kind of, you know, goes, the flavoring goes into the water, and it, you know, get them used to drinking water that way if they're having a hard time. The flavored waters, I would say, is okay as you're transitioning to water, but I wouldn't stay because a lot of them have artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, I've noticed that. There are very few that are...
that don't have artificial sweeteners. And the Splenda, folks, is taken off the European market. So Splenda is not that safe.
Right.
I mean, if you're having it once in a blue moon, it's okay. But to have it in your regular
diet
is not a good thing.
So sleep-wise, let's talk about sleep. We have a little bit of time left. And if you want to join in on the conversation in regards to balance, how do you balance your life, the mind, body, and soul, give us a call, 347-205-9443. So sleep. That's an interesting one for me because chaos in my life. But for you, what do you find is the best sleep balance?
Well, for me, I went through a period of time where I was having a lot of trouble sleeping, and I think it was more hormonal for me.
Mm-hmm.
Stress certainly plays a big part in people's sleep patterns because you can't shut your brain off. I think that's the biggest component in people learning how to shut their brain off. Whatever works for you. Some people, like, you know, I'm not a big on TV, but some people have to watch TV. For me, I love to read. That is my biggest thing, a cup of tea and a book for me, or meditation. Or laying down, if you don't think you can handle sitting still for very long or just don't want to, that's okay. It's not for you. But listen to music. Another way that you can unwind, believe it or not, which is really funny, if you like to dance, put on your favorite music and dance before you go to bed. You know, get this adrenaline out and just be happy in your space and
your
time.
We call it shaking your sillies out.
Yeah, shaking your sillies out. I mean, sometimes I have to do that with the kids, and they get it all out, and they get their giggles out, and they get, you know, but whatever brings you to that peaceful place. Maybe you might want to get a book on how to, you know, how to relax. I usually, with my clients, would teach them to find their happy place, you know, wherever that may be. Some people's is by the seaside. Some people's are in a meadow. Whatever that happy place, it could be a childhood place that you went to as a kid growing up, a summer camp, or anything like that that brings you to that peace. Find that place.
That place that feels good. Back
yes.
To
that makes you feel joy and relaxed.
Yep.
And, you know, listen to the sounds of that place. Smell the surroundings. It could be a certain kind of flower. I know when I smell beach roses, I think of my father because my dad used to take me to the beach a lot. And that fragrance just triggers that memory of kite flying with my dad and, you know, certain things that bring you that joy. Whatever that place is, sit in that place for at least 20 minutes. If it's just laying down, maybe you need a CD of, you know, rain, or I know I love thunderstorms. I'm creepy that way. I love the sound of thunderstorms. It just is so soothing to me. I love it. My mother used to tell people she'd have to tie me to a chair when a thunderstorm was coming because I would run and go climb a tree, which is not very safe, but that's where I like to be.
Yeah.
Dancing in the rain was one of my favorite things to do as a kid. So,
I find, and actually it was echoed in Whole Living magazine this month, 8 hours of sleep a night.
Yes.
Fits me perfectly. If I have 8.5 or 7, it doesn't work. Like last night, I'm already yawning, and this was probably what I was thinking with my coffee, having so much coffee throughout the day, was because of writing the book and going through, you know, some courses, but I wasn't getting my 8 hours. And they just came out with a study on centurions, people who are 100 plus, and they...
Isn't it 9 hours they get, 8 to 9?
8 hours. 8 hours. and exercise, and they have 85% of them have a deep spiritual practice,
mm-hmm.
whatever that is.
Yep.
So, and I definitely want to be on the Smucker's jar, so.
Yeah.
Getting there. So sleep is very important, I think, because it allows your body to unwind. It allows your food to digest. It allows your mind
to... It's your renewal. That's when
absolutely.
Your body renews. And
yeah.
another thing, too, is your vitamins. You can split up your vitamins throughout the day.
I take mine at night.
You shouldn't take all of them.
Hmm.
You should be taking your multivitamin during the day because
mm-hmm.
we need those nutrients during the day. One of your vitamin C's. The ones that you should be taking at night is like your vitamin D's
mm-hmm.
and your B's.
Mm-hmm.
Those are for your mood. Those are for your nervous system repair, and they repair the best at sleep. So it makes sense in your cartilage and everything grows at night. So it makes sense to do your D's and your B's at night and doing your multivitamins and your C's during the day because the C's give you energy.
The reason why I have to do mine at night is because my intestinal tract was so damaged that I get the best absorption rate
and,
while I'm sleeping.
And if you do have issues taking your vitamins, some people say, oh, they make me nauseous.
Sublinguals,
you can take them at night, but you also need to be aware of what type of vitamins that you're taking. It's very important. There was a period of my life that I went through, and I basically considered myself a supplement consultant because I learned a lot through my own journey through weight loss and getting my body back into balance. That people really need a good, whole food spectrum. Your body needs to be able to break down the vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't break down the vitamin, you're not going to get the nutrients. And most of the people that are taking the vitamins are the ones that don't break down, that you're having those indigestion and, tasting the vitamin and, not just feeling nauseous. It's because the vitamin is having a hard time. If you do not break down your vitamin in a certain amount of time, your body doesn't absorb it. And it just
I think just to clarify a little bit more, I think unfortunately there's a lot of junk in the vitamins that are available. So
yes.
if you're cognizant and careful with the types that you purchase,
mm-hmm.
they break down easier than some of the junk cheap
exactly.
ones. And unfortunately in our country we don't have enough mandates and laws in place to actually give us something that is really of value rather than 90%
junk. And our label readings,
horrible.
It is. You have to be a label reader.
Yeah.
I mean, I've looked at, vitamins in the same company, okay,
mm-hmm.
and they're all labeled a multivitamin. One might have more antioxidants and one might have more D. But then you look at all the ingredients and they all change. And it's like, why do you have 200 IUs of vitamin E in this vitamin and only 30 in this one? So you really got to look. You need to know what your vitamin, your body needs.
Right.
Because you could be purchasing these vitamins and only making a dent.
You
need to know. For instance, a lot of people don't understand how much vitamin C that we can actually handle. I learned this to a friend of mine who is not from this country. So they know a little bit more of they're in Europe. They do a little bit more in the holistic field and trust it a lot more than they do here so far. I'm hoping that's going to change. But vitamin C, when people are sick, you can up a grown up can take 5 grams, which is 5,000 milligrams,
mm-hmm.
to repair and to get your immune system back into order. You should be maintaining 2,000 minimum
mm-hmm.
a day, and children is half that.
Right.
So a lot of people say, I have a cold that won't go away. Up your vitamin C up to 5,000 milligrams a day. Once that starts to go down and you're consistent, then go back down to the 2,000.
So... All right, so we got a little bit of vitamins in, nutrition, talked about that, talked about sleep, talked about prioritizing, talked about being careful with making our lists and
mm-hmm.
allowing and accepting things to come and go and giving away things that other people can take care of, trying to delegate a little bit more, whether
mm-hmm.
it's universal delegation or people delegation. We haven't talked about sex yet, my favorite subject, and we haven't talked about weight loss too much, but I think that is important because here's the funny part, and you can relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
When I got a divorce, I dropped 45 pounds within 2 months. Went down to a size 4. And then I got back up to, I was dating for a long period, you know, it was a pretty long period of time. And I call it the love fluff. I gained 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I just lost 5 because I'm not dating anymore. I don't have my love fluff anymore. And, you know, now I'm having to look at adding more calories
mm-hmm.
to my diet again, like I did last time, so I can gain the love fluff.
Mm-hmm.
But diet, weight, and exercise,
that's key.
It's really, really important, especially when you're trying to find balance, because obviously there's something I'm not, aside from the love fluff, which really when you date somebody
mm-hmm.
for a long period of time, you do gain weight. Everybody
mm-hmm.
does. You
mm-hmm.
get very comfortable and
right.
you gain weight, and that's just the way
you
it
make
is.
Soul food and, you know.
Right, right. And you get snuggly and
yeah.
fluffy, and so I'm starting to lose that love fluff. But you had mentioned weight loss as well, and that's part of, you know, gaining balance within your life, either weight gain or weight loss. So
mm-hmm.
talk to us a couple of minutes about your weight loss experience.
Well, most of mine, like I had started to say, I went through a hormonal fluctuation with
mm-hmm.
having my children, and, you know, a lot of women are hormonally unbalanced,
mm-hmm.
so that's part of it. And then you have an overeating. So you have to kind of, you know, figure out what is causing the weight loss. Okay?
Right.
Is it overeating? Is it not eating the right foods? Is it, in some cases, some women will go all day and not eat and then binge eat.
Right.
You know, there's all different way, you know, different things that you have to address. So the first thing you have to do, what I do with my clients when they're dealing with a weight issue
mm-hmm.
or even acne or anything, bring me a food list. I want everything that is put on your body, in your body, medication, cosmetics, anything that you're putting on or in your body, I want it written down.
Right.
And I go over that
mm-hmm.
because that's huge, what you're putting in your body. How much water are you drinking? How much coffee are you drinking? How much? Nothing wrong with drinking coffee. Too much, again, of anything, you know. That's
yeah.
what we're trying to do is balance things out. So with my weight loss, I found exercise was key with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to find the right kind of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I did the at-home gym thing. I did the at-home Pilates thing. I did the, that didn't work. Just saying, the at-home thing for me in any capacity did not work.
Right.
I had to go outside and walk.
Mm-hmm.
I did swim a lot when I was pregnant. I took a water pregnancy aerobic class, and I think that's what kept me in shape for the last two pregnancies. So I only gained 12 pounds.
Mm.
My first two, my son, it was 65, and with my daughter, it was about, it was close to 40. I think it was like 38 pounds.
Yeah, I think I was like 60 with Chloe.
And then with the other two, 12 and a half pounds for each of them.
Oh, that's good.
But they weren't really happy with that. The doctors felt that I needed, but I was 52 inches with Ariana. So I was huge. My baby
yeah.
was huge. I was kind of losing weight in right. a way.
Right.
But I only gained 12 pounds, so they looked at it as my body itself was losing weight.
Right.
But I changed my eating habits quite drastically when I became gestational diabetic, and I really stuck to that diet.
Yeah.
The protein, if you're going to have a carb, you have to have a protein. If you're going to have a potato or you're going to have rice, you have to have a protein with it. That is a key thing, is your nutrients working together to create balance as well. That was a key thing for me. So my diet, so you find, you know, even the blood diets, research those, you know, the different diets out there that are for you alone, like the blood diet that we had a conversation with
a
guest about that.
Dr. Ian.
You know, doing the, you know, looking at the food pyramid, making sure we're getting all of our fruits and vegetables and different things.
I'm going to argue that one because I think the food pyramid is the largest joke.
It's a guideline, though.
It's a guideline, but I think it's way out of whack. And coming from the celiac
mm-hmm.
perspective or some
it
of our...
It doesn't work for everybody.
No, not at all. And but I don't think a diet should be something that's...
See, I don't tell people
crazy.
It's a diet.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle change, because people that are used to going to McDonald's and stuff for all the convenience, you know. I was talking with somebody I know about their diet and then why their kids are getting sick all the time as she's pulling up to McDonald's. I could hear it. I said, "Are you at McDonald's?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "What are you doing at McDonald's?" She said, "I'm getting the kids dinner." I'm like, "Okie dokie then."
No,
you know,
nothing. There's nothing wrong with McDonald's.
Once in a while.
But
this is
the
we had our conversation had gone on. How much do you eat of this a week?
Right.
How many times do you make that stop? You know, if you're going like, I've gone to Dunkin' Donuts and had egg sandwiches quite often. Do I do it 2 or 3 times a week? No. But do I do it 6, 7 times a year? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's all in the portion control. That's the other thing I tell people. When you eat, you know that moment when you're sitting and you're eating and you have that, where you take a deep breath?
Mm-hmm.
Stop, push your plate away, wait 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're still hungry, go ahead and eat some more. But most of the time, when you take that deep breath and you wait 10 minutes, you're full. Because
well, in my house, we have 2 major rules. And it's hard when your child is growing. Chloe grew 5 inches last year alone. I mean, she's just like a teenager with a hollow leg. And you have to be careful with that, too.
Yep.
If you're hungry, drink a little bit of water and then wait. Because generally, the hunger feeling that you get
dehydration is
you're thirsty. And the second thing is, I don't think we've used our big plates ever. My ex bought these beautiful plates for me, the large plate dinner plates, and I don't use them. We use the small salad plates. And, you know, that's portion control. I mean, you don't need a 9-inch plate stuffed with food.
Well, like you've heard people when they go to these fancy restaurants and they have these little, but their plates are like 12-inch plates.
Right, exactly.
And then they're putting, you know, whatever ounces of food that they would serve normally, but they're putting, for presentation, they're putting on this beautiful plate with their, you know, their fancy little sauces and stuff all around it, whatever. I'm so the soul food barbecue kind of girl, you know. I like the fancy once in a blue moon, but, you know, me, no. Give me some, you know, give me some homemade soup and some bread and I'm happy, you know.
So anyway, so weight loss is definitely key to mind, body, and soul, because if your body is feeling out of touch, whether you're too big or too little, you know, that's definitely part of the psychology of your day, too, if you're feeling like you're
and
too
when
fluffy
you,
or
when
under
you,
fluffy.
When you balance yourself, too, when you're drinking the right amount of water and you're eating the right kind of foods and you're taking vitamins, you're going to lose weight. When I was going through my weight loss, all these fad diets, the Slim Fast, look at the ingredients. The number one ingredient on Slim Fast, sugar.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Okay, Slim Fast is a fad kind of protein. It was the beginning of the protein drinks.
Gotcha.
And the diet drinks. Slim
Fast,
yeah,
I've heard of that. Yep.
You know, but you look on that and you notice that it isn't around much anymore. But the first ingredient on that is sugar. And I, you know, I did that for a long time. And why couldn't I lose any weight? And I was starving, you know, because I was giving myself basically artificial fiber and sugar. That's all I was really doing.
There was a vitamin E-like water Chloe wanted to drink. And anything that has more than 3 things in it, I don't participate in. It's just my neuroses on chemicals. But I wouldn't even call it neuroses at this point. But the first thing on this pure vitamin water stuff, I don't remember what brand, so you can't sue me, was sugar.
Yep.
The very first thing. And I'm like, but this is supposed to be a water enhanced for performance.
So
tons of dye, and I'm like, nope.
Reading labels
not.
Is really important because you'll find, you know, even though it says natural, it only has to have 1 natural ingredient for them to call
That's
it natural.
Crazy.
You know, it only has to have pure water in it to make it be pure.
Yep.
But when you look at the ingredient label, the very first thing, that's what the most content of that product is.
Right.
And then it goes down, you know, and if you can't pronounce it, put it back.
Hey, my sister, that's where I live. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce that.
No, that's not for me. And I look at it and go, I don't know what that is. Never mind. You know, right. even your lotions, all of your hair products, your cosmetics. If you cannot pronounce it, don't put it on your body.
Yeah, and that's something that I think parents are getting better at. Mm-hmm. I am horrible in, you know, my daughter at times thinks, oh, God, Mom, because I literally will read it to her and say, oh, I can't pronounce that. We're not getting that. And so what I'm doing is purposefully instilling good behavior
mm-hmm.
in her life so that she doesn't end up with the myriad of issues.
Hence the reason why I'm making my own product line, because
yep.
I know
yep.
what's in it, and I yep. can tell you what's in it.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And I tell people I would not put on the shelf with my name on it if I haven't put it on myself or my babies myself.
Right.
So anything that, you know, and most people that make, you know, if you go to the farmers markets and you go to those type of places that are formulating their own product lines out there, you can trust those people because they're testing it on their own families. And there's a purpose why they're making these things. So, you know, go support your local farmers markets because it isn't just vegetables over there. They have a lot more stuff to offer. And we're supporting our community. When we do that, we're supporting our own communities. And not the conglomerate big corporations. We're supporting our neighbor down the street, you know.
Which provides us balance on a spiritual, emotional level as well, because now you have more of a tie with your community, and that social piece
mm-hmm.
is a huge component of our species. It's
yeah.
just within our DNA and part of a little part of our brain called the hypothalamus in the back of our head. It's, you know, the village piece,
and that's
yeah.
that's what's missing. And I do see us going back to that, which I'm really thrilled about.
Yeah.
And the farmers markets are a great way. I go with my kids,
yep.
you know, and I even visit like Portsmouth is, you know, a place where my husband grew up, and we, you know, I bump into people there that I don't
mm-hmm.
see all the time, and you know, they give us that, and they're very eager to share ideas with you, and
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you know, they launching my line. I'm excited to do the farmers market gig again this fall because I miss doing that. I really
yeah.
like being out there and talking to people
yep.
and educating people and how they can, you know, be balanced.
Yep.
That's what I do.
Yep. And it was funny. I was a few minutes later than normal at the Wentworth Farmers Market in Rollinsford, New Hampshire, and it's just a beautiful greenhouse. My
mm-hmm.
soul just fills up with this light and joy
mm-hmm.
every time I walk in there.
Mm-hmm.
And every now it's summer, every Saturday they're doing the farmers market, and they had one tomato and one squash left, and that's all I could buy. I was like, oh my God, and you're already wiped out.
You have to, like,
you know,
sit in the parking lot for an hour with your
coffee.
You really
yeah.
do. But it's because, you know,
everybody's,
and I do that when
that
I
way.
Go. I,
yeah.
you know, like when I go to Portsmouth, a lot of times I go to Portsmouth just because I know I'm going to be, you know, because it's bigger.
Yeah.
But I love Wentworth is my favorite.
I've never
place.
Been to the Portsmouth one. Maybe I'll do that this
weekend. Oh, yeah, it's big. It's, you know, it's where the police station is.
I don't know where that is.
You know where it's like a pond. I'm trying to think the name of the
I'll
street.
I'll find out.
Yeah.
I'll find out.
It's right off of State
I'm sure
Street.
They have signs, I'm sure.
Yes. So. And you'll see it. Once you go down the road, you'll see it because you'll see all the tents. But
yeah.
it's really big. And what I like about that one is they have a lot of, like, plants and stuff that, you know, from
yeah.
the garden that you can
yeah.
buy. You know, there's a lot of people, good food people, like the soup guy. He's always at the farmer's market. He's doing Portsmouth. I don't know if he has somebody
I mean,
else doing one at Wentworth.
He did have a young man at Wentworth.
Yeah, at Wentworth. So you always want to stop and see him. He always is got something beautiful simmering in his pots.
Yeah, and his birthday was yesterday.
Oh,
so
was
big
it?
Shout out to Curtis, the soup guy, who keeps us very happy.
The soup girl, he keeps very happy.
That's right. All right, so we basically talked about prioritizing.
So tell me a little bit. Talk to me a little bit more about time management. How can
time management? It was a huge hurdle, but I had to learn how to do that at an earlier point in my life. I was an orphan at my younger years, and had to work two jobs to pay for college, so I didn't have a choice on time
mm-hmm.
management. I, as well, have always been a volunteer. I've always given free time. And I was volunteering for two different organizations on top of two jobs, on top of a very full course load in college. So I had to be very diligent with my time management. And at that time, I didn't have an iPhone that would ping me to switch subjects, which now I find it's more of an ADD type reaction for me, because now I'm going from my marketing world to my life coaching world to my radio show world to my, you know,
mother.
To the mother world, to the cook, to the lawyer world, the medical world. But I actually set timers on my phone. So every couple of hours, it'll go off, and then I switch.
Oh.
And that helps me, because I'm an audio visual person.
I am too.
And running around with a day book like I did in college was great. But my phone is more effective because it really yells at me.
Right.
You know, and I can make each time a different sound. So then I get used to, it's like Pavlov's dog. You get used to the, you become programmed. So if I have a boing versus a tweet, those different sounds mean that I have to switch to a different role.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, and that helps, because I hear the sound, I'm like, oh, time to close that shop. Now I have to go on to this. And that's hugely helpful, because otherwise I would just be a mess.
I think most of my issue is, it's not that I don't get everything done, because I do.
Yeah.
But I'm crazy while I'm doing it. Do you?
Mm.
So my time management needs to be more...
It doesn't feel good to you.
It's not feeling good to
right.
me. I'm getting it
right.
done, and I'm enjoying most of the things that I'm doing, but I feel a lot of rushed. And what I have done is I've learned how to say no.
Yeah.
That was huge
with
me.
Yeah.
That was a huge issue with me, is learning how to say no and knowing my limitations.
Yeah.
But I'm still got that little scrambly, scatterbrainish kind of feeling going on sometimes. Not all the time now, so I'm getting better. But that was my biggest thing. It wasn't that I didn't get my things done, because
right.
I did.
Right.
But I'd either burn myself out doing it,
right.
or I'd drive myself crazy doing it.
Right.
So it wasn't as enjoyable as it could be.
Right.
Not as a good flow. So that's, I'm still struggling, you know, like I, you know, the interruptions that we have and how to... I'm still struggling with that whole thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think camp starts next week for our girls, so that'll help a little
a
bit
lot.
With the interruption.
That was a decision for me, and, you know, okay, is it going to be worth the money? And it is worth the money. And
they're
also
happy
having
and
experiences, and that's another thing that we learn in Buddhism, is that it's experiences in our life. And if I'm keeping my kid in the backyard with a sprinkler, because I'm on the computer, they're not experiencing life the way they should. Is that a good thing? On a good, yeah,
yes,
but not every day. But not
every
day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
I think my most creative side was, and I talk about this in depth in my book, is the fact that I was always locked out of the house by myself as a child. So I had to
be creative.
I was forced to be a part of my environment because we were so poor. We didn't have, I don't even think I had a bike until I was 9 or 10 years old. So I was forced to be creative. So to a certain extent, it can be beneficial. I think both ways are extreme, and if there's a balance, that's great. And
well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They've never been to summer camp.
Oh, my God, they haven't? They're going
to
have a blast.
They've never been to summer camp because they would either be home with me or they would be with my sister-in-law, who, you know, was a special education teacher. So it's not that she didn't do stuff with them, but she didn't, you know, she really didn't take them out on trips a lot, or you know, out and explore. Where at summer camp, not only are they you know, they're hanging out with their friends from school, they're also
double field trips
every week. So going, doing stuff, getting out, and you know, and there'll be days that I may not send them, you know, and we're gonna go have an adventure together. You know, that's the only thing I'm worried about missing, because I'm used to just being spontaneous in the summer and taking off, going berry picking, or going letterboxing or going to the beach, you know. But
yeah, but you're trying to find that balance.
I'm trying to find the balance.
Because you have, when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you have the skill set. You're extremely knowledgeable. Now it's time to find the balance to apply it.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, that for me, I'm having fun watching that growth.
Oh, you are you?
I am.
It's not as fun on the other side.
I know.
When
but
your friend looks at you and says it with, you know, the big beautiful eyes that she has and looks at you and you're just like, dope.
You know, it's because of all those distractions. But on the other hand, now you have this opportunity with the girls, and they're going to love summer camp. I didn't realize they'd never gone.
No.
Oh, my God. Chloe, she's always tuckered up when I pick her up. They work hard. But now you can move your office into your office.
Right.
And have even more balance that way.
Exactly
because,
what I'm doing. I've already started the process. I worked there all day making Om lotion yesterday, and I'm making Wicked Good Bug Spray tomorrow. And
which I need some, by the way, your first order.
Yeah, I have like 20, I have to get going on that, but that won't take long. I wanted to do the lotions because they take longer. But and I was, you know, I did all my creating in the morning. I did my stickers, you know, in the morning. But, you know, it's a fun process because I look back at, okay, 5 years ago, and I'm completely different as far as how I approach things, how I react to things, how I think about things.
Even from 3 years ago.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's a huge difference. I mean, if someone knew me, you know, 5, 7 years ago and what I looked like, even my appearance, I feel better in my 40s than I did in my 20s.
Yeah.
You know, which is huge to say, you know. But... you know, and that's staying active, eating right, and, you know, balancing my stress and really, you know, the meditation and just being in that moment is really, all these things are part of that balance. Mm-hmm. You just got to find what works for you.
That feel good. What feels good. Yep. So this has been a super exciting show. It's been a while since Amy and I have actually had the time or the balance to have a good conversation, and we could go on for hours. I promise we could. So, again, I think we pretty much covered all the bases on finding balance and the different things that work for us personally versus...
And if any of you were too shy to call in and, you know, you still have some questions, feel free to hit... Rusty up on her website or mine. You know, we'd be happy to answer any questions. If you have a unique situation, which all of you have a unique situation, you know, all we can do is try to help you get through that and help you on your way to Journey to Wellness. That's why we, in the shop I work at, and hopefully we'll live and breathe in and create new things for you all. But you know, it's a wonderful journey, and you look at it as not giving up things as much as just evolving.
Releasing what's not working.
We're evolving, you know. Yeah. We're constantly evolving, and a lot of people think too much of loss. You know, I've lost this or I've lost that. You just adapt, you know. Yeah, I might not be able to climb Mount Washington, but I can climb Chicora, you know. So you have to not, I find a lot of people reminisce about what they used to be able to do. Or their,
I think that's part of the grieving cycle, and we're going to have a show on that this fall, I think, because it keeps coming up in conversation. The grieving cycle is a real huge part of evolving, no different than a caterpillar becoming a moth or a butterfly. It's that process of opening and rediscovering the beauty within yourself and taking from those lessons and growing and being more part of the universe and community and life. And that's a beautiful
thing. And being
with
the flow, you know, everyone says go with the flow. You know, I've heard that saying all my life and never knew it had so much meaning.
Absolutely.
Is going with the flow, because when you go with the flow, things work out in the end. I don't know how to explain it, but it just happens, and you have less stress. So and when you have less stress, you then notice those little things that you didn't notice, you know, you know, the bird singing, you know, if you had the TV on, you might not hear that bird singing.
Oh, I had an incredible experience the other morning. It was after that very crazy lightning storm, which was gorgeous, my favorite.
I was up on a mountain with a girl, 200 Girl Scouts. Thank you very much.
You not so much. I'm happy. And all of the mourning doves here are gray, brownish gray, and the finches. And there was absolutely no bird with any color at all. They were all the brownish gray, you know. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this fire orange bird came from nowhere and sat down right next to me.
An oriole.
And I looked at it, and I'm like, wow, that is super spectacular, you know, because you have this concept.
Shades of gray,
and then all of a sudden, boom, when
that
you least expect it, this beautiful thing happens. And it just, for me personally, I was very grateful to have that moment.
Well, when we were at Girl Scout camp, I was at Girl Scout camp with almost 200 Girl Scouts, and I'd never seen a lunar moth. I've heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a picture of it, and I'll post it on my web,
Facebook
page.
Yeah, tag me so can see it.
It's mammoth.
Yeah.
Huge, like the size of a bird, not kidding.
Yeah, it's great.
And all the kids are like, what? Screaming, and I'm like, wow, that's so beautiful. And everyone's looking at me, and I'm like, and all my troop are kind of like the same idea as me. We're out there trying gently get it on a branch so we could take a picture of it, you know.
Right,
and all these other kids are screaming, what is that? What? And I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's this, they call it a lunar moth because when the light hits the wings,
mm-hmm.
it almost looks like it glows. It's this fluorescent, greenish, yellowish, beautiful, and it's the size of a bird when it's open, and then there's purple edging. It's just, you know.
My favorite color is green and purple.
So, and so we're just, you know, my whole troop is just, you know, we're like, you know, looking at it, and we had it in our little cabin, and with the big lightning thunderstorm, it was dead outside. So they had a funeral for it.
Oh.
It was so, to watch them be so mindful of that lunar moth and its little lifespan that it had and honoring it. It was just beautiful to watch.
That's awesome. What a great experience. What a great story. I got to see actually some of the pictures on your Facebook, and I was laughing. They looked like they had so much fun.
Oh, we did. We had a blast. Campfire snacks. That's when the whole nutritional chart goes out the window at campfire.
Yep.
You can have s'mores and banana boats and
doughboys.
And
God. I'm gaining that 5 pounds back. All right. So we're going to wrap up this Humpity Hump Day, and I wanted to let you all know that I do absolutely love you. I think you're beautiful. You are the very reason why Amy and I do this every Wednesday, to inspire you, to give you food for thought or spirit for thought or healing for thought, or just to know that you're loved by us.
Or when you need it, that kick in the butt to get you going.
Yeah, that big cosmic 2x4, that's my friend. I like that one. So next week we have Kaz Akers on, who is a spiritual musician, and that's going to be super fun to listen to some of her music. And
Hopefully I can get that, and I can be floating on my float listening.
Exactly. So thank you again, and have a good night, a good morning, and a good day from Rusty at Living and Thriving. I love you.
And from Amy, if I don't get to talk to you next time, it'll see you in 2 weeks. So hopefully I can find some signal. So be well and be kind to each other.
Amen.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.